Hi, hello, Aria. Welcome to the Penny Lim podcast. I am Krista LeRae. I am the owner, founder, HBIC, which I like to say, of Penny Lim, which is a new age needlepoint store. And we are based in Rowayton, Connecticut. And here is the second episode of our podcast. I still don't really have like an introduction. And my husband was like, I made him listen to the podcast. I was like, stay up to date. And he came to me and he was like, do you ever like write down what you're going to say? Or like, do you have any idea leading into it? And I'm like, I'm thinking he's like about to say, wow, you like improvised so well. And I was like, no, it was all just off the cuff. He's like, yeah, I could tell. So I did write down a general outline of today's podcast. First off, we're going to do like a quick shareholder update meeting. Then we're going to get on my favorite segment of what's on Krista's desk. And then we have Morgan from Morgan Jewelry Designs with us today. I recorded with her last week and it was so much fun. We had such a really great conversation. I'm excited for you guys to hear. The conversation also lasted like 50 minutes. So I will try and keep my part of this short so you're not listening to a 2-hour long podcast. But let's just hop right on in. So shareholder updates, if you guys didn't listen to the first podcast or haven't been following us on TikTok, I used to post these 10-minute video clips each week about shareholder meetings. One of our followers was actually like, I feel like this is like the most important like call each week where I'm listening in to shareholders, since that's how the name shareholder meetings came up. As a non-voting shareholder, you listening right now get to stay up to date with Penny Lim Company and see everything that we're doing. So the biggest news that I have for you to start off and let's kick off the day with is that our retail store hit $1 million in sales this weekend. And it was so exciting. The store has just been such like a wonderful part of our business and has really done such an amazing job of bringing the Penny Lim brand to life. First off, I have to say that like we have the most amazing team. I don't know how we did it. I don't know where they came from or why they want to work with us, but like I just cannot say enough wonderful things about every single person who works in retail on our team because they are just so nice and wonderful. And like I actually had somebody stop me last week in Rowayton. I was walking over the market and they were like, I love the store. And she's like, but like the people there are amazing. And I think needlepoint stores sometimes can get like a bad rap of maybe having cranky or non-welcoming employees. And that is just like not the case with us. And that's something that like we really stress. And whenever we like hire people and talk to them about the store, like it is, we are the most helpful, the most kind, the most like X, Y, and Z. And I think that has like translated really well to everyone coming in and like the experience. I actually, few negative feedbacks we've gotten was actually like people were too helpful and it was confusing to them and like they wouldn't stop following up with them. So I'm sure obviously it's like a fine balance depending on who you are, but I know that like we have like multiple touch points when we like be like, hey, can I help you with anything? Okay, no. But like 20 minutes later, you know, you see them looking at threats like, do you need help? And always the art of follow up. So it was really fun. I was in here Saturday, just like looking over stuff on the weekend, as one does. And Dorothy was like, we're only $800 away. And we kind of made a plan of like, okay, whoever like is the $1 million sale, like let's refund their order. And she's like, what if it's like $1,000 order? I was like, okay, like we'll refund it up to like $500. And so our the person who actually put us over the edge was this young man. He was very sweet from what I've heard. I don't know his first name. I know his last name is Riley, so we're calling him Mr. Riley. And he bought the Wicked King card, and I thought that was really special and fun that a young man came in, and that was like our $1 million order. So I just think that's fun. I think more diversity in needlepoint via gender and race is really important. So the fact that it was him, I thought that was really special. So really exciting. A big kudos to our team and all they do and all they have done because they are truly amazing. If you have ever had the privilege of coming into Penny Lim, I think you know that. Everyone just speaks wonderfully about our team. And I don't know if necessarily it's a testament to me, but definitely a testament to them. And I just like, we just have the best people. So come out and visit. Something actually that I saw cool the other day is somebody like posted on Facebook and they were like, you know, I'm going to New York. Like what stores are there? And everyone's like, but take the train out to Penny Lim. It's not that far away. And I was like, you should. But like, it was funny. So that is what's going on in the store world. In e-commerce world, we are still like really backed up. And when we restructured about a month ago, Olivia, who now is like on orders, she was kind of like, where do you need us to be? Like, when do you start to kind of get upset of like, we're not like on certain days? And I said, I'm like relatively, really chill, relatively chill. And I told her, I said, my goal is always be packing two, three business days behind the order. I said, when we start to get over that three is when I get stressed. And when we get around five, I get really stressed. Because that, like, I told her, I said, the reason is not just because, like, I have high standards and expectations, which, like, I do. So the reason is once we get to, like, a five-day turnaround, customer service starts getting backed up because everyone's emailing being like, when's my order going to ship? Launches get pushed back. So our designers are like, well, why? You told me we're going to launch on Friday. Like, why did I get moved back a week? Our sales get affected. We have to pull funding from paid social. Like everything starts to kind of have like this ripple effect of if we get backed up, everything else stops. And because e-commerce feeds us and because it is like the bread and butter of Penny Lin, like that effects in a huge chain of things. So I was explaining to her. And so on Saturday, we had kind of just been like in this hole for the past 2 weeks and that we just have not been able to get out of. I don't really know why our orders have stayed consistently like 300 a day, but because we got backed up, we can normally do around 200, 250 orders a day, like with our like full team here. Obviously, some days are like better packing days than others. Some days we only have three people. Some days we have seven. So in addition to all of that, Advent has actually taken a few of our employees away this week. And so I texted Amanda on Saturday. I said, find somebody else. I said, our team needs to be back like in-house. And like, we just need to like be really cranking this out, because another thing is that we pushed back the last 2 weeks of launches and we are officially running out of Fridays. I have like hard deadlines on a lot of canvases that need to get out, like holiday related canvases. We have our 12-day Wedgwood series, and then we also have our Nantucket Stroll. We have Dudley Stevens, which is launching this week, and then we also have Roller Rabbit. We also have small gifts and accessories that like we need to get out before the holidays. So I told the full team, I was like, we can no longer push anything back. I said, what I've been able to move, I already moved, and we need to figure out a way to get back to a place where we are doing 2 or 3 days and sustaining that until the rest of the year. Like, we pulled back all paid social. We haven't sent out emails. Like, again, like the ripple effect of it all. So everyone is like very much aware. But I also like reached out to a couple of girls on the team and I was like, what do we need to do to like do 500 orders a day? Because when I was talking to Dylan, which is our CEO of Boring Things, head of people, is I asked him, I was like, you know, I want to open a second store and I want to do this. And he was like, you know what you need to do is like, you need to get this order queue down. He's like, how do you continue to grow D2C? Because that's like where the margins are. And I was kind of telling him that like, you know, we're kind of capped where we are. And so I spent Saturday really thinking about how do we get to 500 orders, and talking to the team, I tasked them. I said, okay, come up with like a really in-depth game plan. And I was like, and I will make it happen. Like, tell me everything you need. Tell me how many people you need, how, what hours they're working. Tell me how many packing stations we need, what kind of X, Y, and Z. And so Amanda has been pushing this for a couple of years now because she like loves warehouse and logistics. And I told her, I was like, we're just not in this place yet for a warehouse. Like, we don't need it. Like, we're good where we are. But in about 11 months, we've now outgrown our space. So we are actually today looking into two warehouse spaces. The issue is that like, well, there's a multitude of issues. One of the issues is that we live in a very expensive area. And the warehouse pricing is very high. What should be like $10 a square foot is like double, and $20. And to get more affordable warehouse pricing, we need to go further out. But our group is here. We're centralized kind of in Fairfield County, where some girls are in Greenwich and Stamford and some are in Fairfield and like Southport, even further out. But I want to have something local to all of them. I don't want to go out to like Bridgeport because that's also not even local for me. I go to the office, you know, almost every day. And so I need somewhere that's convenient to all of us. We can't be spending, you know, an hour plus to get to where we need to go. In addition to that, warehouses are very, very ugly. They are usually buildings with no windows. you know, for a reason. But like, I don't want to move our team from Rowayton to a gross, dingy warehouse in a really bad part of town, being like, here you go, have the best time. Like, I'll be over here on the water. So I'm trying to find like a nice warehouse, but that is more expensive than the traditional warehouses. So that is what we're dealing with today. I'm looking at two different warehouses that ideally can be split up because they're much bigger than we need. I am going to take a really big leap and probably quadruple the space we have currently. So because I told Dylan, I was like, I don't want to move in another year. Like every lease that I've signed has been for 5 years, and every year for the first year, I outgrow the space. I said, I don't want that to happen anymore. So we're looking between like 10 and 20,000 square feet, which is insane, but like I'm tired of moving. So we are planning for the future in a lot of big movement and all of that stuff. So that's what I'm doing today. I was actually today supposed to go to a meeting for our second store location. We were going to meet with a contractor to kind of get quotes on the space and what we need to edit. But he wasn't able to, so we push it back. And instead, today I'm meeting with the landlord. We're having a call today, and I'm basically going to pitch myself and tell him why he needs to accept my offer and why we're not kind of pay what he is offering or he's asking, because I have, and I'm not trying to like big dick him around, even though I do love to do that with men, because like I feel like they just look at me and they think, oh, like I'm gonna take advantage of this. But I, you know, I have gotten to where I've gotten by being kind but firm in business. And I think that is kind of what I'm gonna do today. I'm gonna charm him. I'm gonna tell him why I'm so amazing and I'll be the best tenant ever, and why he, you know, we can grow together. But I have a cap on what I feel comfortable with in terms of our second store. And it's expensive, and it's kind of like I needed proof of concept. Like Rowayton store feeds off of e-commerce, so it's not really like its own living, breathing thing, where the second store would be. And I need to, you know, kind of schmooze my way in to convincing him where my best and final offer is. The great thing is that I do have leverage in the sense that if he can't come to my price, then I'm okay walking away, because the second store is not needed, especially if we're going to do a warehouse space. I would love to, like, you know, get that situated and happy and running perfectly before we take on a similar rent elsewhere, externally outside of Connecticut. So I am okay walking away, but I very much am in the mindset of like, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. And if it is not meant to happen, it won't. So that has really served me well over the past 5 years of like things that I really wanted to come to fruition or stores that I really wanted to happen. And I look back at those and I'm like, we would have never survived. So I think that I know where my line in the sand is. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. So that is where we're at. That is where we are at today. Then the other big update is Advent. So in the years past, we haven't really had that many Advent issues. We've been pretty lucky. This year, for some reason, we are running into legitimate issues. And I don't know. Renee, I'm recording. Get in here.
I'm so sorry.
She sneezed again.
I'm sorry. You heard that? Are you recording?
Yes, I'm recording.
I'm so sorry.
Did I hear that? No, literally. You're insane. Get out of here. She's too much. She literally told me, she was, I won't sneeze again. And here we are. Okay, so Advent world. We've been really lucky in the past few years that we haven't had any Advent issues. This year, we were running into some big, big issues, small ones that like normal people would freak out about that I'm not freaking out about, or like bags that we had custom printed and sized for the products. Like we have something in a box and we put like a bag over the box. Those don't fit. But instead, what we did, I was like, okay, go to Sticker Mule and buy some poly bags and get them here ASAP. And so we did that. But the big issue, the really big issue, is that my favorite product in the 24-day box, which I actually previewed last week. So if you figured it out, then that's what it is. It came in. via FedEx, who I hate. FedEx, if you're listening to this, I hate you. But don't actually, because you've already lost enough of my packages and please don't lose anymore. So the box came in. There were two boxes. I didn't realize one of them was so damaged they didn't even try to deliver it and they can't return it. So TBD where it is, what it looks like. I was like, I can pick up the pieces. Like I can, we can make this work. And they were like, no, just straight up no. So that was an issue because it was my favorite piece in the box, my favorite little accessory. And we were scrambling because the factory can't get us to us in time. They could possibly get it to us by the end of November, but Amber didn't trust them. And so, because they've like been pushing back a lot of dates and she didn't want to risk it. And I was like, we can just like kind of give people like, we can move dates around. It's day 5. I was like, we can move it to day 14 and like by, you know, mid-November, they will have it in hand. But like if people who are opening it all in one day, this is something so weird to think about. Like if they're opening it on TikTok and they like pull out like an IOU, that wouldn't be like a great user experience. So we then shifted to a similar item, but something that we could buy quickly. So something that's like already created versus custom. And we found a really good replacement, but we needed 500 of them. There are only 100 available. We then sourced the actual manufacturer of this item and we were like, do you have more? And he's like, oh yeah, those should be in. And we like followed up with him for 3 days and he was very kind. And we actually now have a contact with him, which is great. But he was like, they're stuck somewhere on a ship and we can't, they're not going to be in yet. So we had a plan that got ripped away. And now we did a backup plan where instead of one item, there's like three items, which kind of like all go together in the traditional sense, which is like not custom, there's something you can buy, but it works. I don't think people who open the box are gonna be like disappointed by it, but knowing what it could have been, I'm disappointed by it. So I'm still trying to figure out like what I want to do, because obviously we have those replacement items coming in and I know I can sell them off, but I kind of want to like reach out to people who got the advent after they open the advent, be like, this is what it was supposed to be. And like, I want to give you first opportunity to buy it. And here's also like 20% off. So I think that's like kind of where I'm leaning, but it has been hard to have, that issue arise. And I'm like trying to stay cool, calm, collected, because like the only thing that like getting upset or getting angry or getting anxious over it doesn't help solve the problem. Lita always says, like, sounds like you're a problem person. I need like a solution person. So that is what I'm trying to, that's the world I'm trying to live in. So that is like the updates. Now moving on to what's on Krista's desk this week, which is a really fun thing. I was looking around and I was like, there's actually not much on my desk today. But then Renee brought in a really fun package. So there is more on my desk. One of the things on my desk is this canvas that we are launching with Dudley Stevens. I'm stitching it in Very Velvet and it looks so good. Also Very Velvet, probably my very favorite thread. It is so much fun to stitch with. It's so smooth and so soft. And it like, I mean, it's literally velvet. Like what better thing to touch and feel and stitch with. So I do love that. That is coming out on Thursday. We are launching two canvases and two accessories to match. And that'll be really fun. I love Dudley Stevens. I've been friends working with them for like 10 years. I think I was like one of their very first influencers. I also have a podcast that's coming out with them soon. So hopefully that'll be out around the time that this comes out. But we're super excited about that. Another thing on my desk is our layout for the store, the second store location. This is not what it currently looks like, but these are the bones of the store. So I was going to try and play around. For some reason, I like can't envision what I want this store to look like. But when I was here on Saturday, I was just kind of like messing around things. And I think I came out with a really good plan and idea. And it's going to be like a little bit more elevated. I think I want to keep it still generally like Penny Lin. I don't want to theme it to the area that it's in, but like I want it to stay Penny Lin, but I want it to be like a little bit more of an elevated experience because it's like a little bit more of an elevated place. Yeah. Then also the reason I'm not like telling you guys where the second location is because one, it might not work out. And two, I want to make sure that like I kind of get things locked in and then let the people who need to know first. that meaning our team, that meaning other store owners in the area. I want to make sure that like people aren't finding out about like huge major things through a podcast. Kind of like it's like how I like do with pregnancies. Like I make sure that everyone in my life who I'm close to needs to know, because like I hate finding out that like my best friend's pregnant on social media. Like I deserve a text, you know? So I think that like the people that need to know deserve the text before it goes public. So I'm not trying to be like all cloak and daggers, but I don't want to like just share with the world before the people who need to know first. Then the last thing that's on my desk is we are doing like a new Penny Lin print. I really like the idea. I think I was shopping at Asha this summer, and I love the idea of how they had different prints for different stores. And obviously we have like the overarching Penny Lin print, but I wanted to create like a print for Waitin, and this is the print. So it, for my people listening, it's a pale blue background with like a dark blue ribbon. And then like the motifs on there are hydrangeas, there's gardenias, there's scissors, thread, a sailboat, our stitches bag. There's also a tote bag, which is on this side. A tote bag, the little Penny Lin with a needle and thread. So it's a different print that I think it's really cute. So I wanted to see how this looked in person. When we got proofs of it from our manufacturer, it looked fuzzy. So I was like, can you please just ship those to me? So they shipped. And then we were also looking at the two different options for our PVC. One of them is printed on a transparent PVC and one's printed on a blue. I like the idea of having the background color, but this blue is too dark. So it just looks weird. Even though I do like the fact that you can see the icons better, I think I'll just go with our traditional clear PVC, but I think it looks really good. We are doing like all of our packaging branding for the store in this print, and then we'll have these prints exclusive to the store and like a whole suite of accessories. This is the larger bag that we made. And then we also did, this is an item that we have created, and this is like a good example of like things in the Advent that are exclusive to the Advent, but like things that like the items aren't exclusive, but the print is exclusive. So if you got an Advent, this is the 12 or the 18, the 12 or the 24 day. This is an item that's in there. So look away if you're watching on YouTube. For people listening, I won't explain it and what it is, but I'll just show it off for people watching on YouTube. So this is your opportunity. Okay. This is it. And you can like hook it on to whatever you need to. And what it does is this. So this is like one of our new accessories that we will be coming out with that I am like really obsessed with, but this is one of the prints. And then we also got like samples on like how the Penny Lin is on here. So that is what is on my desk today. In addition to like my Nido, which if you don't know what a Nido is, my 10-year-old cousin brought this to Nantucket, and there's different size ones. There's a small one, a medium, and a big one. And this is the best thing to just like hold and squeeze and do whatever with, because it will always just go back to a square. This is my paid promotion for Nido. Okay, so that is it for my yapping today. The conversation I had with Morgan is wonderful. I'm really excited for you guys to listen to it. We talk about everything going on in her life. She just moved. She got engaged. She's opening a store. She just had a pop-up. We also got a lot of like really interesting tidbits. Morgan was like so wonderful in sharing some kind of like percentages of her business and like how much Bar Cart Club affects her business and why she started Nido Miner Club. And then her pop-up, she also talked about like possible new locations for a pop-up next year in addition to New York. She talked to us about like a soft opening date for her store. She talked to us about hiring, but the meat of the conversation was us kind of discussing about like how we do similar things but differently. So obviously Morgan Julia is like core Morgan Julia and doesn't offer external vendors outside of Threads. So like when you look at Morgan Julia's site, it's only Morgan Julia designs. She dipped her toe into a collective, but it didn't work out. She like does one-off collaborations with designers or artists, more traditional artists, but she like really focuses on how to expand just her core line of products. So that includes her text line, her Bar Cart Club, her Nido Miner Club, her pop-up, like all these different ways to do it. And so she's opening a studio out in Jersey. I wanted to talk to her specifically because I was like, you are opening a store. Like, how are you going to do it without, you know, making it a store. So we talk about all of that, and the conversation was really great. We just in general have like a really wonderful friendship. I'm forever very grateful for Morgan and all that we have like done together over the past few years, because it's really nice to have somebody who not only understands like what you're doing, but like really truly understands like the people and the players in the game. Like I can talk to my husband about, you know, X, Y, and Z, but he's like, okay, why does that matter? Why is this a thing? Where I could talk to Morgan about it. She's like, oh, this happened to me too. Or like, oh, I've dealt with the same person. So it's nice to have somebody in your corner, in your industry, but also like in like the same realm and like the same thoughts. And so our friendship is just wonderful. And I think it's really helped both of us grow, because we have somebody like, we have a safe space to bounce ideas off of and to learn from each other. So just really grateful for our friendship. And hopefully you can see a little bit more about what makes us together on the podcast. And ideally you are able to learn a little bit more. So enjoy our first podcast. And here is Morgan. Hi, Morgan. Thank you for being my first official podcast guest. I am so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on the PLP, Penny Lynn podcast. Whoop, whoop. And first guest, I feel like the stakes are high, but thanks for having me.
I know, no pressure. But I literally was like, I feel like if I did a first guest that was like anyone other than you, like it would be weird.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? So I was like, I sent Morgan a voice memo the other day. We talk only in voice memos, but never do we call each other. That would be way too much.
So weird.
I was like, hi, do you want to be on my podcast? And she was like, hell yeah. And I was like, hell yeah. So, okay, I told a little about you, but like give us like the TLDR elevator pitch of Morgan Julia.
Okay, TLDR, I am Morgan Julia. That's actually my middle name, Morgan Julia Forey. I started Morgan Julia Designs in 2019, so sort of pre-COVID, from Annapolis, Maryland. I was pretty much straight out of college, had no idea what I was doing, but knew that I wanted to do something art-related. And over the past like 6.5, almost 7 years, it has just snowballed into something much greater than I ever thought it would be, which is amazing as the industry has grown. So 4 years ago, I moved down to Florida, ran operations out of here, and now I'm sort of transitioning my life up north to Jersey City, Jersey girl.
Casual. Which like actually is the perfect transition of like, talk us through your last 6 months. Morgan has had all of the life changes, and I feel like you've alluded to some of it. Like there's been like sprinkling here and there, but like give us like the full picture of what your life has been like.
Back in April, I got engaged. I was doing long distance with my boyfriend, now fiancé, Will, for a little bit over a year. He lived in Jersey City. I was down in St. Petersburg. He had to move up there for work. And as things got more serious, we realized that like that was the place that we needed to be. And luckily, I can run my business from anywhere. So over the last year and a half doing long distance, we've talked about places to live and, you know, settling down. And it's been fun to sort of explore Jersey and see another side of the East Coast. So that's like my big personal life. I knew that I wasn't going to move unless I was engaged, which I think is like a pretty important thing to stress to people in long distance relationships. And so once we were engaged in April, we talked about sort of like moving and plans. I felt like I had grown a really great team in Florida at the time, and I knew that I didn't want to give it up, especially as like I was having personal changes and just, you know, experiencing this like whole new life. And I hate change. So keeping the Florida studio, I knew was something that would be like great for my mental health and important to me. And also I love like the warmth in Florida. I knew this wasn't where I was going to raise a family or, but I love the city. I love being here. And so it made me feel like I was keeping a part of myself as I moved up. So we officially moved in together in an apartment in Jersey this August. We just lived in the same building, just moved into a 2-bedroom. We had toured like suburbs and places to live, but I felt like I would sort of isolate myself. And the more time we spent in Jersey, the more I liked the city. We could, you know, go into the West Village for dinner super easily. We could go out and see his parents. And so it felt like a natural spot. And then with moving up, I knew that I was going to open some sort of studio just because I wanted a place to work. Since getting a studio, I've really enjoyed not working from home and having some sort of like, you know, interaction and not isolating myself, like I said. So I was looking for a space like just you know, part-time in the back of my head, searching up in Jersey City for probably close to a year, honestly, even before we were engaged. And nothing clicked, nothing felt right. And I do believe, like, everything happens, like, in the right time. And I feel like that's something that you stressed to me, too. And right as I was about to move up full time, I saw a space in Jersey that I just loved. It felt like me. It didn't feel like a typical city space. It's like a corner unit, bright. And so I hopped on that. And so the last few months, two or so, have been me moving up to Jersey, commuting back and forth between here and Florida, and then working on getting the Jersey studio opened as we've continued working in Florida.
Which is insane. And then I feel like you also forgot to mention that you did a huge pop-up during this time as well.
Yeah, I shipped Barkhart Club. We had a studio sale. We did Needle Minder Club. And then we had a huge New York City pop-up. So, yeah, I feel like I'm forgetting these things have happened just because there's been so much on my plate. But it's truly been wild, and it's truly been, like, day-by-day living.
Yeah, maybe a few tears. Morgan and I love to cry. Just like, it's like a good release for the soul. Okay, so tell us, I know you just mentioned quickly about Barkhart Club and Needle Minder Club. I remember, like, being with you for, like, the inception of all of that. And I love all your Barkharts behind you for people who are, like, watching the video. But, like, talk to us about the Barkhart Club and, like, how it came to be and kind of, like, how it changed Morgan Julia and also the Needle Minder Club, which I assume is, like, a little sister of the Barkhart Club.
Totally. So I know you kind of wanted to talk about this too, and how my business might be different, and how, like, we're all in the needlepoint industry, but we sort of have little things that we own or ways that we've grown. And my true joy is designing. I knew that I always wanted to be an artist, and that's where I feel like I really thrive. I never truly worked corporate, so I don't have, like, the managerial skills. You know, I'm learning as I grow a business. But being an artist was, like, super important to me. So that being said, you know, there's only so many ways that you can grow, right? Like, a lot of people do a collective. A lot of people do a true LNS. And none of those felt right given my strengths. So the goal was to, right, increase orders and that be what take me to the next level. So I always loved the idea of a subscription. I was a BarkBox member for quite a while. And I loved the joy of just, like, getting something monthly, opening it, having it be a surprise, having it be themed. And so I thought, you know, what if I do that with one of my products and make it a fun surprise to open? Another fun fact is that in 2023, I sort of stepped away from designing Barkharts a little bit because I do have so many. And I just wanted to, like, explore different things. But when we looked at our sales from 2023 at the end of the year, 25% of all of our sales, retail and wholesale, were something Barkhart related, which is an incredible amount. And so we were like, okay, we probably should lean back into it a little bit if that's, you know, one out of four people are getting something Barkhart related. Right. And so exploring a subscription, you know, surrounding that made me feel like, you know, I could still keep the Barkhart Club growing for the people that love it, but I can also make other designs for launches of things like food and drink that you know, inspire me. So I remember talking it through with you. It was like winter 2023-24, like December 2023.
I think it was like the plaza when we went for New Year's.
Yeah. And we basically, with Amanda, like, worked out a sketch. And like, this is what we're going to send. This feels like a great price point. For those of you that don't know, I send a canvas, all of the thread for the canvas, a needle minder, a stitch guide, a needlepoint accessory and a non-needlepoint accessory and a project bag. So it's a lot that goes into it. And it's sort of like this, it's become this experience. I wasn't sure how it was going to be received just because I know there's some clubs out there, but the themes were released ahead of time and I wanted to keep that a surprise. Like, I truly wanted this to be a surprise since there's not that many surprises that people have in their everyday life.
Yeah.
We opened our first one in March of 2024, and it sold insanely well. I think we were all just shocked. I remember we met with this marketing consultant, and she's like, here's how many I think you could sell. And we were like, really? Like, that seems like an outrageous number. And so we sold out really quickly. And then I feel like it's just continued to roll into, you know, bigger and bigger numbers as people have, like, seen the themes and gotten excited about them. So I send it out four times a year and we're continuing to do it. And I love it. I think it's really super fun. But I think throughout that, we got like good feedback of, I guess I'll back up a little bit. When we were coming into 2025, I felt like the club subscription model worked really well for us. Some mm-hmm. of the feedback that we got was, I don't like bar carts. I don't drink, and the price point is too high for me. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create something at a lower price point that was still a subscription that people could get excited about. And I love designing needle minders. They remind me of like shrinky dinks from when I was little. You're taking your art and you're scaling it down. And I love like cute mini little things.
Yes.
So I was like, why don't I do a needle minder club? Like $20 a month. And we knew that they would like add up quickly, right? Like if you get 12 needle minders a year, like that's a lot.
Yeah.
So how can we position that to they become these collectible things that you can hold on to? And so we launched that this summer as sort of like the little sister of Bar Cart Club mm-hmm. for people who wanted a different product offering. And it has gone way better than I expected.
Yeah.
And we're transitioning the theme every 4 months. So you'll get four mm-hmm. out of one theme and then the theme will switch to keep it sort of fresh, new and exciting.
That's awesome. And so two things I want to touch on is one, like the kind of the background of a subscription model. Like you and I have talked about this a ton, but I think it'd be really interesting for people to hear kind of like how a subscription works and like all of the things you have to do in the back part of that. But then also I want to talk kind of about like the numbers of like how many people are in a Bar Cart club, how many people are in a needle minder club, like how overlapping is the Venn diagram, or is it like, are they two separate things? Like kind of talk to us about the whole world of subscription and, you know, the cost for all of that.
Yeah. Subscriptions are tough. Honestly, it was the hardest part of my business so far, I think, which mm-hmm. is a weird thing to say, but there's so many things logistically on the back end that need to run for a subscription to work, right? We have to store your credit card information and Shopify doesn't do that. So we have to use like a secure website. We have to make sure that like our numbers are correct, that we're, mm-hmm. you know, billing the proper people. If people cancel, we need to make sure that we're actually canceling the subscription. We have to make sure when we open it, we're opening the proper number of spots since we don't order extras and just ordering inventory, I'll get into, has just been yeah. really tight and crazy. So we're actually launching in like an hour, opening more spots. And I'm like sitting here like so anxious, like I want to throw up, but it's going to be great. And we had a lot of like tech hiccups at first. We mm-hmm. use this app called Recharge and it's not easy. My brain, like I said, I'm an artist. I'm not very logistical. I'm not great at schedules.
Yeah.
So Katie, who had worked for me part-time and is now full-time, she has really taken over as like the Recharge subscription expert. And
yeah.
now that it's rolling, things are smooth, but it definitely took us like four billing times of Bar Cart Club to get there.
Yeah.
Another thing that I don't think that people realize, and it's just because we don't talk about it, is it's expensive, right? Like, it's the first time in my life that I've had to learn about cash flow management because the bills that I'm paying for things like thread, canvases in a bulk quantity at once are so high. I joke that like I'll be able to afford my honeymoon on just Amex points and I probably yeah. will be able to. And so the thread is our biggest cost.
Yeah,
it's probably like $40 to $50 of our cost of each box, right? And so that retails around like $100, mm-hmm. which is big when you multiply it by X. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, what I think is interesting too is you have, I don't know if Planet Earth did this before you, but you have kind of created these like little thread kits because Bar Cart, there's so many colors and details. You have created almost like a new category of thread where you're not sending full skeins. Also, we need to talk about how difficult it is to like source that many threads because I feel like every thread line is like, I'll be to you in 6 months. And that obviously doesn't work for your subscription. So definitely I would be interested to hear kind of the story of the evolution of how you offer threads for Bar Cart.
Yeah. So like I said, I include a thread for every single color. What that means is that sometimes there's a black and it's literally six stitches. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you could do like DMC or you could do a card of essentials. A card of essentials costs around $150. I think they retail for like about three pre-tariffs. Mm-hmm. And it just felt like a lot of money for six stitches. And so we approached Planet Earth, Tilly Thomas, and we're like, is there any way we can do essentials, but like all on one card and like 3 yards, not five? And so by doing that, we've been able to bring our cost down on the colors that are, you know, smaller areas on the canvas.
Right.
And ordering thread has been a nightmare. This is another thing that Katie has really done well. I think, but we've all seen needlepoint just grow in the last year, right? So many stores open, so many new stitchers. And I think with that, we're all sort of struggling with inventory control because it's so new. Mm-hmm. And I know the thread lines are experiencing that as well. So we have been trying to design really far out so that we can give the thread companies a lead time. And thankfully, we've known, you know, which ones like doing it, which ones can meet the volume and the deadlines. And so we choose to sort of selectively pick who we work with. We really like Rainbow Gallery. We love Silk Road Fibers. I know they are out of straw silk right now, but they're great to work with. And of course, Tilly Thomas. So I think by staying to those few thread companies, we've been able to make it successful. But there have been times where I've wondered if we're going to have thread in time, just especially lately. So it's been tough.
I feel like you have, because you do a Rainbow Gallery gold in all of your bar cards. Is it what's like FT something?
SL94, Silk Limited SL94.
Okay. And I have seen your stockpile of this in the back. And like, I feel like you must have 1,000 cards of it because it's literally, I would say if you need one thread for your entire line, like it's going to be that color.
Yeah.
And like Rainbow Gallery has, you know, gone through the influx just with all of us. But then also on top of all of that, tariffs have like been a really big issue. And especially because Tilly Thomas sources their things, their thread from India, those tariffs have like greatly affected her business, which also affects all of our business. And I know that you like run a really tight margin on Bar Card Club. And so like offering, you know, the select amount of thread definitely helps with that cost. But like when you add tariffs to it, which is around, I think like 25% now, how have you dealt with that? I know we're having issues like on our end.
Yeah. So this is actually the first time we have had to charge more for Bar Card Club. The margins are slim. It is probably close to 20%, which doesn't sound like a lot based on, you know, I try to have like a 50% just landed margin, not factoring, you know, insurance, cost, labor, anything like that. Right. But factoring that in, Bar Card Club margins are so, so slim. And so we sent an email to all current subscribers. It was $195. And then they had to pay $9 shipping. So we bumped it up to $215 with free shipping. So it wasn't that big of a bump in the grand scheme of things, but I was worried that we would have like massive drop off because it was over the $200 price point. I feel like that's a big, you know, deal breaker for some people, but we didn't get any negative emails about the price increase. I think people have been really receptive and like understanding about tariffs, which is great. And our drop-off wasn't dramatic at all from the price increase. So yeah, this is the first time we're price increasing. And we're also opening, I think we're like almost doubling the spots that we've been doing. Maybe not quite, but we're ordering a lot more. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. What's like the retention rate from like are there people who signed up from the very first day and are still in it? Or is it like, do you see after a year, people kind of like, okay, I think I'm good? Or what's the retention of it all?
Yeah. So we have some tried and true Bar Card Club loyalists who will never drop, which is great. And I want to say they're about 10%. And just for some metrics, what I was told 2 years ago when we started subscriptions is the average drop off is around 30%. And that number is high. But the idea is that you can like fill it as people have come in. We have seen our drop-off rate stay around 5 to 10%, which is incredible.
That's amazing.
We've always been able to fill the spots. It's truly wild. But speaking of like how many we see people stay around for, I'd say we see around 4. People, once they have 4 is when we start to see a bigger drop-off. So I was definitely cognizant of that coming into this year because 2024 into winter of this year was 4. And I was trying to think about what else we could do to sort of, you know, control those numbers. Another thing that I want to mention about Bar Card Club is last year it was 30% of our revenue. And that's sort of scary, right? It's
that's
wonderful.
Insane.
It's so great when something's successful, but it worried me, right? Like, what if, like, one day people woke up and everybody hated bar carts? Like, that's 30% of my revenue just gone. And we have tried to diversify this year. And I think we've done a really good job at that so that we're not super reliant on Bar Cart Club for revenue.
Right. And how many bar carts, like, ideas do you have in your mind? Like, can you create this for the next, like, 10 years? Or is there, like, a point where you're like, okay, like, I think I've hit my quota?
So I design a year out, I'd say, like, in my head. I like to do that because sometimes, like, an idea will come to me in the last minute and I'll change things. Like, our fall one wasn't supposed to be the bear at first. I don't want to give the theme because I'll probably use it again, but it just wasn't working at the time. So we switched it to the bear. So I'd say, like, I'll design a year out. I know that this is not going to go forever, but I try to keep it as fun as I can while it lasts. And I think going into next year, I'm going to try to switch around from – we've tried to seasonally theme them, and that can only take so far. So I think next year it would be fun to explore some different themes that, you know, maybe fit the season but aren't so heavily seasoned.
I love that. And so going back to another question I had, how what's kind of the overlap or the Venn diagram of Bar Cart Club and Needleminder Club?
Yeah, I just pulled this number and I was surprised. It is about, I know I keep saying 30%, but that's honestly true.
Everything's 30%.
Yeah, everything's 30%. I thought that the number was going to be higher, honestly, when I sat down to do it. I thought we were going to be somewhere like 50-50. But I think it's great that it's they're only 30 because that means that, you know, so many people are coming in because they're excited about a lower price point club or they're excited about Needleminders. And like I said, it just helps that diversification that we've been aiming for.
Yeah, I love that. And so how do people, if they're listening to this and they're like, wait, this sounds amazing, like how do they sign up? Are people kind of like knocking at your door to get into Bar Cart Club and Needleminder Club, or like what's the vibe? What's the plan?
Yeah, our biggest support email is, how can I get the last Bar Cart Club? Like, people want it after they've seen it. And I hate telling people no. And unfortunately, that's just the case. Like, I like keeping these limited edition to the current club members. It makes it special for them. It makes it special for me. So Bar Cart Club, we open spots 4 times a year. It will probably be sold out by the time this goes live. But
yes,
we open them every 3 months. So it's November, I think, 3 months from now. I don't even know.
January, February.
And then the best thing to do is sign up for the back in stock on our website for the product. Mm-hmm. And we'll email you. We email the waitlist before it goes live so that they get a first chance to buy. That's how we open spots. And we know that that doesn't work for everybody. So one thing that was important to me with Needleminder Club is that it was a rolling enrollment. So you can sign up for Needleminder Club right now. Like, we're not capping spots unless it gets to something that we can't fulfill, but we don't see that being a problem at the moment. And I think that that's also been really nice too, because Bar Cart Club, it feels a little bit selective when you're only opening spots 4 times a year. But if you learn about me today, you can join Needleminder Club, which is great. So also with a lower price point product for us, right? Like, we're not having to spend so much money on thread. Bar Cart Club margins are better. Or sorry, Needleminder Club margins are better. That has made us able to keep the enrollment rolling, whereas Bar Cart Club, because the expenses are so high, we do have to cap it.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. I love that. Thank you for sharing all that. I want to talk briefly about your pop-up, because so the meat and bones of today is I want to definitely get to like your studio and talk about how we're basically doing the same thing, but differently. But before we get into that, like, the big elephant in the room is your pop-up. It was in New York City. It was the first time you've done anything like this. And I would love to know, like, why you wanted to do it, why you picked New York, like, what worked really well, what didn't work well, what surprised you. Like, I want to know kind of everything about the pop-up. You heard it here first.
it was wild. It was 3 days in Soho in early October. It was more than we ever thought that it was going to be. The idea kind of started it because I went to a Fishwife pop-up back in fall of last year in New York City, and I really loved the experience. Like, seeing a sort of e-commerce brand brought to life in a new light, being able to shop in person, actually see the products. It's a lot different, you know, when you're actually in person. So I went home after that. This was last fall. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could do that. Like, I wonder if I could make a Morgan Julie Designs pop-up in New York City We also chose New York because it was our biggest customer base. I think 5% of our Instagram followers or something are from New York, which is a big number when you add it up. And it's also like centrally located. So people could come in from like Maryland, take the train up, fly in from Chicago. So that's how we decided on New York. I almost pulled the plug when I found out how much it was going to cost all in.
Yes.
I had my team members working on that, and they gave me a call actually when I was on our way to tour our wedding venue. I'm also planning a wedding behind the scenes.
Casual.
I don't know. It's crazy. And they had called me with the number. It was like, honestly, six figures. And I was like, oh, I don't know that I can make that happen. So we sat down the next week and forecasted out. Here's how much you have to sell. Here's how many products that you have to bring to break even, right? Even if we lose a little bit of money, it's great for marketing. So played out all of those scenarios and figured out that like it was worth it to try it. And that's sort of how it came to be. So in the last few months behind the scenes before the pop-up, we were, you know, ordering thread for kits, which felt like Bar Cart Club order again, because it's like so many threads. You have to segment all the threads to different kits. Like maybe you're ordering a red that's in seven different kits. And so it's a lot of logistical studio organization and packaging and managing that. And we also worked with a sort of event planner, if you will. And she was wonderful. Her name's Lauren with X Projects. We found her last minute. It was not working with the event planners that we had initially. And I think 6 weeks before the pop-up, we switched.
Which is insane.
She had like New York Fashion Week coming up. I truly still don't know how we made it work as well as we did. There was a lot of sleepless nights. I came down with my fiance and we drove a U-Haul up from Florida to New York with all the inventory. So there was a lot of moving parts behind the scenes that I don't know that I shared a little bit of it on TikTok, but
yeah,
that's sort of like how it came to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
We had our marketing team fly in to help and they were wonderful. And I have a full-time person named Katie who is great who came in too. And then I brought up one of my studio girls, Avery, who's been with me for maybe 2 years at this point. And what surprised me the most is how well we all meshed together. Like Katie had never met Avery in person and Avery had never met my marketing team. And I feel like everybody just sort of fell into their role and shined in it. And that was what surprised me the most internally. I thought it was a pretty seamless experience to have. We had 1,500 people come through over the course of 3 days. And to have nothing major go wrong, we are so incredibly lucky. But I do think that it's a testament to my team and everybody really stepping in and owning their role too. I think what like surprised me the most about just the pop-up in general, not internally, was how many people came out to support, how many people were excited about Needlepoint. There were people like walking off the street that came in and were like, oh, I'm excited about this. Like, I've heard about it. What is this? And I think it just showed that like experiential retail works. And I knew that before, right? By like looking at these bigger brands that have bigger budgets like Dairy Boy, Park, Fishwife. But being able to execute it ourselves and seeing how excited people were, also the social buzz, like everybody was tagging us. It was really cool to see. And there were people that came that, you know, started following me like 6 or 7 years ago. And one woman like pulled me aside and she was like, I've seen you just like grow as a person too. And I'm like going to cry because it was such a nice thing to say. But I think truly, like if we think about the last 7 years of my life, I went from like 21, 22 to where I am now. That's a lot of personal growth too. So it was special to me that people were there that were from the beginning. I think that was cool. And I guess what didn't work well, like I said, we were so incredibly lucky that like nothing major happened. I think we sent out a survey at the end to the people that came, like a Google form asking them. We knew that lines were long, right? Like that's something that we struggled with. And so we had the team run out and get donuts the first day and hand them out to people in line that were waiting for hours. We had a few bottlenecks inside where the checkout backed up because we only truly had 2 cash wraps. And so I had every team member of mine download the Shopify POS app on their phone, and they were able to like walk through the line and check people out on their mobile phone, just like tapping the card, which was wonderful too. We had a few like weird hiccups, like our branded shopping bags didn't come in time, but we just ordered white bags, slapped some stickers on it, and it was fine. But we got some really good feedback from people, like people wanting a bathroom, which I didn't even think about, but is so important after like waiting in line for so long. So nothing really major bad happened, which I'm so,
which
so
great.
Grateful for. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's something that we'll definitely do again.
Mm-hmm.
I also knew that it would work because I had done meet and greets in other cities before with local Needlepoint stores, and just seeing like how excited people are to come to events. And I think if we think about our weekends, like most of it is structured on Needlepoint, right? Like going to an LNS to grab some thread. And so it felt like a natural sort of thing that people were going to do anyways in their weekends. And I think that's what helped it click.
Yeah. And I think something that I'm sure you've experienced that I definitely know I have is, you know, you have this online community and, you know, you get a certain number of orders a day and you run this business, but it's never like in your face. Like you never really get to like meet it and touch it and feel it. And I know like when we opened our store, it was so weird to like experience the online in person. And I feel like that definitely is something that like you experienced in New York, where it's like you're getting to meet all of these people who've been following you and supporting you for all these years. And you're like, oh, like this is real. Like it's not like in my head. I don't know. Like sometimes I forget that like we're running like a living, breathing business and like with a bunch of people that are affected by it, like in a positive way. And it's, I don't know, it was just so weird. I remember when we opened our store, like seeing it like physically manifest in that way.
Yeah. I went to your friends and family on your opening, and even the amount of people that were there was wonderful. And I saw the lines the next day on social media. It's, I think, right, like if we think about our jobs before we have studios or stores, they were pretty isolating. I know you were just like in your house. I was in my like second bedroom of my apartment in St. Petersburg. And I think it's easy to sort of get lost in that there's real people that we're connecting with. And so it was really special to see that side of it. Because, you know, I know I'm shipping to like a Sally in Texas, but then when you actually like put a face to that name, it's special.
Totally. I love that. And so this, well, first off, did you make back your investment on the pop-up?
Yes. I am very happy to say it was profitable. It has also been 10% of our revenue of the year, which is an incredible number for just 3 days.
If only it was 30%.
Yeah, literally.
back to 30%.
I know.
That's amazing. Okay, so obviously down the road, you want to do New York again, but like, are you going to do this in other cities? Like, what is kind of the plan? I know it took 6+ months to create and build, and it's not like something you can just knock down and go like the next location right away. But like, what's like the future for you and pop-ups?
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, I'd love to do 2 a year. I'm sure as I get older, it's going to slow down and be harder. I know like with you and your boys, it's tough. Yeah. But we're aiming to do Texas in the spring, and we are aiming to do New York in the fall again. And I think having another studio in New Jersey will make that a lot easier, because I can have like Florida focus on, you know, Texas, and then New Jersey focus on New York City. And I'm hoping that it all plays out the way that I want it to in my head, but
I love that.
Yeah. It's going to be
very exciting. What part of Texas?
We were thinking Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. But nothing set in stone yet.
Okay. All right. You heard it here first. Okay. So this, again, transitions us perfectly into your studio. So if people are following you on Instagram and your broadcast channel, like they have been seeing, you are really putting in some beautiful renovations into this space. And the plan is to open it within a few weeks. So I would love to hear about kind of how that's all coming along, what the plan is, what we're going to open. But then I want to get to like the meat of the conversation today and kind of talk about like why you're opening your studio space and why, as far as I know, you're only going to be stocking Morgan Julia designs.
Yeah. So with New Jersey, it has been, it just feels like a whole other like arm of my business, and I've had to devote a lot of time for it. I hired an interior designer to help me with the space, and that has been a really big weight off of me. I've been able to like come down to Florida and not worry about it. She FaceTimed me this morning. She had a question on site. So that has worked super well. Like I said before, I knew when I was going to move up to Jersey that I wanted something there. There's also no great Needlepoint store in Jersey City. There's none at all, right? And when I would go visit Will on the weekends when we were in long distance, like we would have to drive out 45 minutes to get thread or go into the city to get thread. And it's just not, it wasn't super convenient for the amount of people that live there, I was surprised. So I actually, this is funny. I think I shared this with you too. I pulled a heat map before I opened in Jersey City. We use the same email provider, Klaviyo, and it is incredibly powerful. The data that we have from it is more than I know what to do with. And I plugged in all my customer data into a heat map and found sort of the best area based on my customer base. And it was Jersey City. And so it felt like a natural fit. There wasn't anything there. And yeah, there's no great place to get threads. So that's how it sort of like came to be. And also personally, I think it's going to be able to help me build community up there. I know that's sort of like weird when your personal life intersects with your business, but Needlepoint is so personal. I think it makes sense. You know, I was really worried about moving to New Jersey that like my life would sort of become Will's life. And it was really important for me to have my own thing so that I could feel, you know, it's a big step to move up for somebody, right? Like to give up what you like down here. And so that was important to me personally on the back end too.
Yeah.
And with the space, we just hired two new full-time people. So we're going from one full-time person to now three others, which is a big step for us.
Very.
So we hired a great studio manager and we hired somebody to help with social media full-time and our support inbox as that has grown. So we have two full-time people getting ready to start mid to end November, and we are starting part-time interviews next week. And we have some like great people lined up for that too that I'm excited about. So
That's amazing.
My ideal world, we move wholesale shipping up to New Jersey. So that's also a big part of my business that I don't think I talk about too. And then keep retail and e-commerce and clubs from Florida. And I think we'll open it. Like now that I have a full-time person up there. Oh, I also have a full-time person in St. Pete that I forgot about.
Yes. So there's there's like five in total.
Yeah. And so I think we've talked about this too. Like when you need space and expand, it only makes sense to open it to the public to bring in revenue as well. And so I'm hoping to have it open on weekends. My ideal hours are 10 to 6 during the weekdays with a late night for like a Stitch Club, maybe to 8. Closed on one weekday for shipping and open, you know, select hours on the weekend. So that is a goal that I am striving for. But it's weird to sort of step into retail. I'm sure you felt that way too when you like really transitioned from like your smaller store to a bigger store.
Right. Yeah. And I always like say, I tell people I never wanted to open a retail store. That was like not in the plans. In Connecticut, we're like very lucky that we have a ton of stores in the area. And we're so close to New York too that it's like, I was like, nobody needs a Penny Lind store. But, you know, you build it, people come. And then it like wasn't a good user experience. And then I didn't like have the feel. And so many people were coming in. And I was like, hey, we just need to get a space for them. And it was actually probably like a year before we opened our retail store, we started bringing on like external wholesale people like your line onto the Penny Lind site because I had this like epiphany almost. I was giving my oldest a bath and I was like, what is stopping like Morgan from shopping at Penny Lind versus shopping somewhere else? And I was like, well, we don't offer everything. So that was something like when I think about how I want my business to grow is I wanted Penny Lind to be the one place that you shop and you don't need anything else. Like we'll do everything for you. And so that obviously transitioned into the store we open is we host other designers and other retailers. And obviously the margins when you think about like profitability of that all is that gets cut in half because you're now like building in a 25 to 50% margin versus like manufacturing yourself. But that's never something that you like wanted to do. I even know like kind of when we talk about things that we're doing similarly but different is like we have a collective of designers and we have that came to be because I was like, well, I can only design so much, you know, like especially when we get into this, it's like you actually don't have time to design or stitch, which is the worst part about the job. But like we brought on other designers under our line as well. But that's something that I think you've like dipped your toe in but have stayed away from. And so I would love to kind of like hear your explanation of like why you want to stay core to Morgan Julia and like not like nothing else.
Yeah. So I mentioned this at the beginning, right? Like when you think about ways to grow, taking on a collective, bringing on other artists is a great way to grow. Doing a local Needlepoint store is a great way to grow. And I tried it. Right? Like I tried to have some people on and I struggled with it because at the end of the day, like I love designing. That's like what I love the most about this business. And it was taking away time from that. Also, I just don't think I had the staff to sort of like manage the behind the scenes. So much goes into it that you guys don't see. Like, I don't even know how Krista does it with with everybody. I really respect people that can do it because I think it's a really cool way to grow and also support artists maybe that are working other jobs. And but it never clicked. It wasn't what made me happy when I thought about, you know, the growth of MJD. Like, I truly love designing. And like you said, having a collective takes away time from designing. And that's what I'm trying to get back into. So that's sort of why I've stayed away from it. I've done some collaborations that I've really liked. And those have like one time drop. So you're not managing somebody for a whole year. So that worked well. And I hope to do like a few more of those with like artists that I really love. But at the end of the day, I'm really focusing on designing, like I said. And I think to your point about wholesale is it has also helped me grow. Like wholesale is a volume game because the numbers are so low. So for example, a local needlepoint store will order like maybe 10 from me, whereas like one retail customer is only going to order one of that design.
Right.
A fun fact is once Krista, I hope you're okay with me saying this.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Once Krista had started buying from me wholesale, she makes up 25% of wholesale revenue, which that's wild. Not 30%. We'll strive to 30.
Yeah, literally. I got to get those numbers up. It's crazy because like when we like even look at our numbers, like it's, you know, we have, I would say like it's the Penny Lynn line. And then, you know, I think it's maybe one or two collective designers. And then you're like, you're in our top five and like, we don't own you. And it's wild because it's just like, obviously we are so similar. And I think that's why we're like great friends. But like also, you know, we work together in all the different ways of like we're friends and we like help each other, but then we also like we buy from each other and we collaborate together in that way. And so it's so interesting because I thought like I was like, I don't know if I want to take on Morgan's stuff because it's like you already sell so well. And I think the people who are shopping from us are already shopping from you. So it's like, I don't want to double dip. And I remember like ordering really small quantities at first. And literally every single time we get something in, it just sells out. I'm like, oh my God. And so I'm very grateful for your site where we can just go on and be like, oh, you have 75 of these in stock. I'll take them all. Like it's just crazy how much we sell. And I also love every time you do like what's sold versus retail versus wholesale. I'm like, that's all because of me. I bought all those needle minders.
I definitely have had to sort of skew some of those numbers because it's just been like the top five some months. But I try to keep them pretty true to what they were. But yeah, I think it's been great for me too. I think something that, you know, you said we're similar, but we're different. I think something that we have both appreciated and kept in mind as we've both grown and, you know, been in the same market is that it truly is like community over competition. You know, if you bring somebody into needlepoint, they're never going to shop with one artist. Think about the people that you stitch. Like I stitch from so many different artists. So nobody's ever, you know, only going to shop from one artist. So the more people that come into the industry that find it as stitching, the greater it is for all of us. And I do think that there is room for everyone at the table.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I feel like we are an excellent testament of that like we are so close and like we both like, you know, it's really nice to just in general to like have somebody like in your same realm who like you're completely open with. And it's not like we are being like, oh, what'd you do on this? Like, because I need to know and like I need you better. Like, it's very much like we bounce ideas off each other. We talk about employees and like hiring and we talk about like managerial stuff, accounting stuff, like, oh, you know, what email provider do you use? Like all of these things. And it's so nice to like have someone who understands because like, you know, we can talk to somebody externally, but they don't necessarily know the needlepoint world like we do. And having that, I think like having our friendship has helped both of us like immensely over the past however many years. And obviously I'm like very grateful and I love you. Morgan is my adopted sister. Shout out to my mom who has officially taken her in to our family. But okay, so when you open, you're going to open your studio. It's going to have hours and like maybe you'll be there, maybe you won't. You'll be in the back. I'm always in the back. I'm always like, don't look at me. But you don't plan on like having external vendors there? You'll have all the thread lines, or what's the decision to like keep the studio public but not a store?
Yeah. I think I saw from New York, it was a great case study that like I can support a retail store with just my designs. And I like that. Like, I like, if you think about my business, you know, bringing an e-commerce brand to life is, it's difficult. And I love that you can come into St. Pete and like see how we work, see how we ship. It's not like a super polished store, right? Like, it's like a collage of page inside of my sketchbook. And so I think it'd be nice to do it in Jersey, where it's sort of like more of a polished, right? Like, you can come in, see my design, spend time stitching, which is just something that we don't offer here in Florida. And so I think it'll be nice to have both those. But big reason is just because I love designing, and I'm really excited about it. Like, I'm excited to do it and see how it goes. And we're going to carry like a select amount of threads. So I think we have silk and ivory. We are doing like some variegated threads, some specialty threads. I think it's going to be, we try to do a mix of like thread for, you know, beginners, and then also intermediate, and a range of prices like DMC. So yeah. I think that was also helpful from you. Like, when you open a store, you're like, here's how much thread you should buy. And I think people don't know that, like, this is our first time doing this. Like, we've never run a needlepoint business before. And so
we have no idea what we're doing.
Yeah. No, I literally don't know what I'm doing. but like, having somebody else like that's going through the same stuff with you it's great. I think it's both helped us just mentally behind the scenes too.
Yeah. Yeah. My biggest suggestion for threads is to carry DMC, because while it's such like a low cost, like low reward canvas or thread line, it again, it's the volume of how many people come in and how many people get it for cording, or they want it for a beginner kit, or they're going to buy it for X, Y, and Z. And it's just, that is like, I feel like it's always a really big miss when stores don't carry DMC, because you really need to appeal to everyone. Anyone who comes in, it's hard to tell somebody, hey, spend $7 on a skein of thread, when like, especially if you're like selling them for bar carts, like you have to buy 20 colors, and it's like that adds up really quick. And so DMC is definitely, I mean, I personally love stitching with DMC. Yeah. I am a DMC lover, you know that. But I'm also a freak, so take that for what you will. But yeah, it's always so interesting, because DMC is like always our best seller. And then I would say for 13, silk and ivory, and for 18, vineyard silk. So yeah. I feel like once you have those, it's like, you're good. And then you can add in all the extras. People do love sparklies if you can get your hands on it.
Yeah, I'll have plenty of SL94 there.
Yeah, literally, it's that's where the stockpile is. It's actually Morgan Julia by Rainbow Gallery. Yeah. And so what is like the time frame of opening? What is our target date?
Okay, so this is insane.
Yes.
I'm hoping, don't hold me to this, I'm hoping to do a soft opening Black Friday weekend.
Oh, you're insane.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's going to happen. I think I'll have a better idea in a week. That's my goal. I'd love to capture the people that are up in New York for the holidays. You know, even if it's not fully put together, I think people would still appreciate like coming and seeing the experience. So that's my tentative goal, with like a grand opening being early December. But we'll see. That's really a push.
I love that. Are you doing a Black Friday sale?
Yes, we are doing a studio sale on Black Friday. For those of you that don't know, I'm like super anal about the canvases that I sell. Like Krista said, for price point, you know, needlepoint's a big expense. Like, when you think about how much a canvas costs to take it from start to finish. And something that's been important to me as I've grown is just like the perfection of it all, which is tough. But even if a canvas has, you know, a little paint splotch in the top left corner that like won't affect it at all, I won't sell it for retail. I'll leave it in this pile for a studio sale. So it just grows. We do it twice a year. We are offering it to our text list early shopping. So sign up for our text list. I just want to like self-promo that.
No, do it. Do it.
And then I think throughout Saturday, Sunday, Monday, we will do 25% off.
Damn. That is going to be crazy. I would say that your studio sale is probably one of the best deals in needlepoint. And not because you're sitting in front of me, but like literally, I remember even Amanda got maybe like a Christmas bar cart one year, and we like looked at it and we're like, there's actually nothing wrong with this. Like, we couldn't find the issue. And we're like, we FaceTimed you and you're like, oh, do you see that like small speck of dust on the back bottom of the canvas? You're like, that's why I couldn't sell it. And I was like, okay, you're insane.
Yeah.
But it's a great deal for anyone who wants to get it. But I also know that like it is it's worse than the Hunger Games out there. When that opens up, people are like, it's gone.
Yeah.
We're done.
We are making a change. I got a lot of feedback about this.
Okay.
We are doing a cart. It's like saves your cart for like 3 minutes. I feel like that's a...
Oh, yes.
3 to 5. We're still deciding because people's stuff was selling out of people's carts like left and right. And that was our biggest complaint.
Yeah.
And another thing is we used to tape all of the canvases. And like this might be a little bit controversial, but we are offering some canvases that are not taped for $2 less just because... That helps us so much on the labor side.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how long it takes to like tape this amount of canvases. But it's definitely like over a month of prep. So by offering, you know, the same design taped and untaped, the untaped are our wholesale inventory, if you're wondering where that's right. coming from.
I'll take them.
Yeah.
Literally. Send them my way.
Yeah. And I think that'll also help slow shoppers down a little bit because it'll be like a variant that you have to select. So think about canvas and kit right now. It'll be just like taped, untaped. The taped is $2 more, untaped $2 less.
That's so interesting. Yeah, something I feel like people don't realize is like how long it takes to tape. And it's such an excruciating, like very slow process because they're, you know, some stores do have like tape machines. Even that, there's a lot of like, you have to still take it off and you have to cut it and you got to rotate it. Then you got to tape it again. You got to cut it. So there's no like easy way to tape. Binding is not any quicker or cheaper. I know you started doing this. So I think I started doing it, but like we have our painting studio tape for us.
Yeah.
And so that does help a lot. But like when it comes to wholesale, you leave those untaped. And so it really like takes a lot of bad. Like over weekends when we pull canvases for like the week ahead, we literally just have girls tape. Where it's like just tape all the canvases so we can like do it because it really slows down the process of packing. And I feel like people don't really think about that. But obviously it's a standard thing in the industry to get your canvases taped or bound,
totally.
You know, in some way. So I'm definitely interested. Are you, I know you've had problems in the past with people buying the studio sale and like reselling it for a retail price. And so you included like a little flag, but are you hand painting those or like
no.
How is.
So yeah, that also upset me because I did see that a lot last year. So for this past studio sale, we got a red stamp. I think we got it from like Zazzle or something. And it's funny because it's a flag. So we call it like a red flag that we that we stamp in the bottom left corner next to the SKU. And this summer studio sale was the first time that we did that. We had also tested before. We like put it underwater, make sure it wouldn't smudge. I'm not sure what the ink is, but it has been fine, at least from what we've tested.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's great because if you resell something, like I would hate for somebody to get something at like a slight discount, but it'd be like really flawed. And so that's sort of how I have approached like the reselling aspect of it with the little red flags. So those will be on the
smart. Okay, good. Yeah, because I remember I did something like maybe I did like a studio sale like when I like first started, and I like put like a WH by. I remember I hand painted all that on there, and it was like, what am I doing? Like this takes so much time, but it is really important for people to know. Like if you see that's so smart. If you see a red flag, it's a red flag.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, know it what it is. Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. I love that. So this is such a fun and interesting conversation. I obviously love you and I love everything you're doing and I love talking to you. Is there anything else? Obviously, like I want you to like promo Workout Club, Needleminder Club, text line. I don't know if we should even talk about your text line, but that has been like a new thing recently. You're just doing like all the different channels of selling and I commend you for it. But like tell people where they can find you, what's coming up. Obviously the sale. Tell us all.
Yeah, studio sale, Black Friday. You can find me on morganjuliedesigns.com. That's also our handle for Instagram, TikTok. We're trying to, you know, promote on all channels so that you can see us somewhere. Join Needleminder Club. I love it. It's $20, free shipping. It's great for everyone. And
yeah.
Join Barcart Club when it opens. I hope to do more clubs next year. Like I said, this year, I really focused on diversification, even with the text list. So I'm really proud of how every channel has been able to grow independently, but under my brand, I think it's really cool. So,
yeah, I feel like a lot of people when they think like, because this is how I did is how do I grow? And it's expanding your lines in different ways. But you've really stayed true to like only the Morgan Julia brand. And I think it'll be a really interesting case study to see like how far you can take it kind of having just your designs.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. People always ask me if I have a 5-year plan, and I'm like, no, I'm literally living day to day.
Literally.
I will ride this wave as long as I can. I'm so happy doing what I do. I think it's so cool to be able to be an artist. Like, my dream sometimes is a little girl and make a living off of it and have a full-time team. It's something that I'm really, really proud of.
Yeah, and I'm very proud of you, too.
Thank you. I'm proud of you. And it's been so fun to grow with you.
Yeah, it really has been. And it's every year I'm like, you look back at the past like 12 calendar months and you're like, what? How is it possible that like we have grown this much? And I don't know what the future holds for us, but I think it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
And I'm ready. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I love you. Go follow Morgan. And thanks again for being my first podcast guest.
Thanks for having me on the PLP.
Woo!